Live from Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Campfire Cafe on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network.
Never thought I'd meet a friend like that. Not in my wildest dreams. I met Jesus in Texas, west of Abilene. I don't see how a man who lived 2,000 years ago, he could find me down in Texas, south of Amarillo. He came all the way from a town called Bethlehem, showing much he loves me and cares for who I am. I met Jesus in Texas, west of Abilene. On my knees one night I saw the light in my boots and jeans. Never thought I'd meet a friend like that. In my wildest dreams, I met Jesus in Texas, west of Abilene. Oh, look, play that fiddle. Come on, Mark.
Mickey Daniels, I Met Jesus in Texas, to kick things off for the show. So I'm your host, Gary Holt, in Nashville, Tennessee, and joining me in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is our co-host, Miss Bobby Jean Bell. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning, Gary. Did you have a lot of trick-and-treaters last night?
Bobby, I live so far out in the country that nobody ever comes. Nobody ever comes. How about you?
Well, this was our first year in this neighborhood for Halloween, and we saw no trick-or-treaters until about 7:15. We thought we were going to have to eat all of those little bags of chips ourselves. And then we had just under 100 kids come through. It was actually kind of fun.
Wow. Well, I've had a lot of fun today looking at Facebook and seeing both the little kids and the big kids posting their Halloween pictures. So it's been a lot of fun looking at all the costumes. And man, I tell you what, these little kids are just precious when they get dressed up. And
yeah.
And the
yes,
big ones.
They were very happy that we didn't give candy. Whenever we've done this, we always do those bags of chips, and the kids would be like, they do chips at this house. And they were like running down the walkway, you know, it's chips at this house.
Well, that's a good idea. That is a good idea. So anyway, hey, we have got a great show lined up today. And we've been trying to get this first guest on for quite some time. And every time I've called him, he's been on some cattle drive or something else. But who's with us today in the first hour?
We're so delighted to have Randy Houston joining us this morning from his ranch in, I think, New Mexico.
All right. So we're going to have a lot of fun talking with Randy today and playing some of his great music. And in the second hour of the show, it's the first Thursday of the month. So it's time for Backcountry Horsemen of America on Saddle Up America. And Jim McGarvey is bringing with him today Mr. Chuck Miller, who is a member of the National Board of Directors with Backcountry Horsemen of America, and then the first chairwoman of the Bitterroot Backcountry Horsemen of America, Ms. Phillips, will be joining us. So it's going to be a lot of fun today on both the Campfire Cafe and on Saddle Up America. But let's kind of kick things off for Randy right now. Let's listen to a great song of his. It's called Day of the Cowboy. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Randy Houston today on Equestrian Legacy Radio Network's Campfire Cafe. We'll be right back.
A history of leather and lead, of stampede and broken bone pain. Some words mumbled over the dead, then keep pushing cows to the train. Hard times make hard hands, and one blade sharpens the next. Legends shape the land, breaking trails for the rest. And that was the day of the cowboy. Oh, what a world he could see. And that was the day of the cowboy. On to us that remain, itching to cut the wire and keep pushing cows to the train. And this is the day of the cowboy. Oh, what a world he can see. Day of the cowboy, free in the land of the free.
Network. That was Day of the Cowboy, written and performed by today's guest, Randy Houston. Singer, songwriter, cowboy, Randy Houston writes and sings about the modern-day lifestyle of the cowboy. Randy knows firsthand the life of the working cowboy. He started breaking horses for wages at the age of 14 and spent many years in rodeo arenas through high school and college. Today, he partners with his father on their ranch in New Mexico. He's written some of the most widely recognized of contemporary cowboy music, and his songs have been recorded by some of the stars of this Western genre. Recognized for his performance talent, the Academy of Western Artists voted Randy as one of the top five Male Entertainers in 2007 and as the 2010 Male Vocalist of the Year. Since moving to Albuquerque, we've had the opportunity to enjoy Randy's performances. With his engaging smile and sense of humor, he brings every song to life. It is clear this cowboy enjoys sharing with his audiences, either alone at the mic or as the part of duo or trio. If you can catch Randy Houston live, you will be in for an evening of memorable entertainment. Please welcome to Campfire Cafe, fourth generation livestock producer and first generation award-winning hit maker, Randy Houston. Welcome, Randy.
Thank you. It's great to be with you today.
We're so excited we finally got you on the schedule, Randy.
I know it, and Gary mentioned it a while ago that it's been hard to pin me down. The thing is, I you know, in my own mind, I'm really important, and so I stay really busy. So I think I'm really busy. But what the folks that are listening don't know is I saw Bobby a couple of weeks ago. We did a concert in Albuquerque, R.W. Hampton, myself, and Deanna McCall. And Bobby asked me again and said, we want you on the show. And I said, let's book it. Let's just do it. And I'm really glad I did. I'm glad I did it.
Gosh. I think the first time I reached out to you, you were out on a cattle drive or something. So we're glad you finally made it.
Yeah. That's absolutely true. And I do want to say before we move along and get started on a couple of things before we get started on our regular program is we appreciate the heck out of you guys for promoting Western and cowboy music and, you know, giving folks a chance to hear it that may not have a chance. And it helps keep the genre alive. So, big appreciation to you. Now, the other thing on a more serious note, you mentioned Halloween.
Yeah.
I was pretty excited because Halloween was coming around, but I didn't have a costume. So I called my friend Chris Isaacs, who a bunch of the, you know, Western music and poetry people know. I called Chris and he said, no problem, Pard, I'll send you a costume. And he sent me one and it didn't get in until yesterday. It came in yesterday. I was so excited. I ripped it open, and all it was a hockey mask and a tube top.
Will we see pictures of that, Randy, on Facebook today?
I didn't even try it on. I just figured, by golly, I just couldn't bring myself to do it.
On behalf of myself, I would just assume not see you in a tube top. So I'm glad that didn't happen.
I don't know. There might be a song opportunity in there. You know, hockey mask and tube top. I don't know. You might be a song in there, Randy.
I think you're right. I'll put my mind to it and see what I come up with. The only thing is, I need to make sure I stay away from referencing Chris Isaacs, though, because that, you know, that might bring everything down.
Gosh, that's funny. Hey, well, always when we have a guest on the show for the first time, we like to find out a little bit about their background. So, why don't you start out telling us where you're from, and kind of how you grew up, and how'd you get started in music?
Well, I was born in northeast New Mexico. The little town is Las Vegas, New Mexico, which was actually the original Las Vegas. A lot of people don't know it even exists, but I was born there to a ranching family. And throughout my childhood, young adulthood, and into my 20-hood, I traveled to ranches all across the West, worked on ranches in Idaho, Montana, Colorado, Texas, of course, New Mexico. I'm leaving one state out, I know, at least. But anyway, had a chance to travel a lot. My mom, who passed about 5 years ago, was very musical. She had her master's degree in music, and she loved music. And so, you know, from her, I got a bunch of my interest in music. And then it was kind of solidified just by the friends that we had. The days of the cowboy riding from camp to camp singing songs is long over, but we still had living room get-togethers. And it may be when we did some cow work and had neighbors over to help, a couple of folks would bring a guitar or a fiddle. And after we were done, we'd eat and then sit and jam. And so, and if that wasn't enough to get me into the entertainment world, my dad worked on a ranch with Baxter Black in the 70s.
Oh, my.
And I know a lot of folks will know who Baxter is, but I was a young teenager then, and I used to ride around with Baxter a lot, and he'd come over to the house a lot. And at that time, he wasn't a cowboy poet. He was a cowboy songwriter and musician. So he had a whole notebook full of songs, and he taught me a whole bunch of my guitar playing. And so I guess from there, the rest is history.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but did you spend some time in Nashville?
Yes, I did. And I was working in Kentucky on the horse farms, taking care of horses in Kentucky, and it was only a 3-hour trip from Lexington to Nashville. And
right.
So by that time, I was already kind of a member of the music scene. I was sitting in with different bands. I'd play the mandolin, fiddle, or guitar, and went down with a band to record an album and got to know some of the people in Nashville. I started going to some songwriter seminars, and then the next thing, I guess, fateful thing that happened, there was a magazine called American Songwriter. And they would have a songwriting contest, and I won the quarterly contest, and then won the contest for the year. And so
wow.
I made a lot of connections that way, and was getting a lot of encouragement to move to Nashville. And so I did. I went to Nashville and did really good there. The area that I was real successful in was music publishing. While I was there, it's really interesting as I think back on it, I did not write very much. I felt like it was a conflict of interest because I was representing other writers as their publisher.
Right.
And now that I look back on it, I regret that. I really regret it. I should have spent more time writing, but it just didn't seem, the correct thing to do. If I was having, a big producer or artist come into the office to listen to songs, human nature, I'd be inclined to play them one of mine. And
yeah,
that's taking away from the other guy. Mm. So anyway, I had great success at music publishing. We had a little farm down by Franklin, and actually Leaper's Fork. It was before Leaper's Fork became famous.
Yeah.
And as I started
everybody lives there now.
Yeah.
I know.
And as I started making money in the music business, I was buying more cows and leasing more property. And one day I just kind of looked up and realized I had 150 cows. I was leasing almost 1,000 acres, and I had not been to the Nashville office in almost 6 months.
Oh, wow.
And I said, what am I doing here? So we packed everything up and headed west back to New Mexico.
Wow. How long were you in the Nashville area?
I knew you were going to ask me that. Too long. not too long because it was a bad experience, but I just can't believe that I was there that long and didn't head back west again. But all total, I guess I really kept the business going about 17 years.
Wow.
15 years. But again, during that time, at the first, I was really invested in it. I'm spending all my time with it. And then as time went on, less and less and less and less. So I was kind of dividing my time between New Mexico and Nashville. And then we finally made the complete break about 2006, I think,
Okay. And
came back here. But I have a ranch in New Mexico and had it for part of the time that I was there in Nashville, too. So we were back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's amazing how many people have Nashville on their resume. And
yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. I think that's a.
I agree. Absolutely.
For some people, it was a good experience, and for others, it wasn't so good. But anyway, so we can lay claim to you for about 17 years anyway for that area.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, my time there was really good. It truly was. I met a lot of wonderful people, and I had a lot of fun. There's no doubt about it. But my heart is with the cow industry and cowboy music. And I was performing, writing and performing cowboy music while I was in Nashville. I was still doing that, which didn't have a big, place in Nashville, but I would tour other parts of the country. I went to Elko and I went to other cowboy gatherings. Nashville was great for me. Nashville was awesome.
Well, that is great. Well, speaking of your Western love and your cattle experience, let's play another song. And this one is one that I really liked. It's the title cut from The Hole in Daddy's Rope, and that is Hole in Daddy's Rope. This is Randy Houston.
All right.
And we'll be back and talk with him some more on the Campfire Cafe. We'll be right back.
Daddy was an outside roper, never rodeoed, till Dusty talked him in to getting in a Cimarron. The worst thing that could happen did, when the ropes came tight, three steers down in 21, now there's no end in sight. And he's hauling every weekend, so we've been eating beans, what with the cost of diesel and all his entry fees. Our friends all look the other way, but everybody knows there's a hole in Daddy's rope where all our money goes. Mama tried to get him hooked on golfer shooting pool. He ends up out at the barn, shaking out a loop. And when he picks his rope up, his mind slips out of gear. He's dreaming about jackpots and Corriente steers. He's hauling every weekend, so we've been eating beans. What with the cost of diesel and all his entry fees. Our friends all look the other way, but everybody knows there's a hole in Daddy's rope where all our money goes. Now we've got a secret, won't Mom be surprised? Dad bought me a horse and he's teaching me to drive. We'll be hauling every weekend and we'll be eating beans. What with the cost of diesel and all our entry fees. Our friends all look the other way, but everybody knows there's a hole in Daddy's rope where all our money goes. There's a hole in Daddy's rope where all our money goes.
And nobody could hear us. So,
yes.
I forgot to open the mics back up. Oh, man. My bad. But anyway.
That's my radio, right?
I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's funny. That's funny. So, excuse me, audience, for my mistake out there. But anyway, we were talking about Nashville and your time in Nashville, and then you moved back to New Mexico and started back in the cattle business. And tell us a little bit about who all is involved in that cattle business with you out there. Is your dad still around?
Yes, he is. It's been a family operation, I guess, my entire life. Actually, we worked for other people forever, and then finally we were able to buy our own place in about 1997. And so my dad's still on the place. He's 83 and still goes horseback with us, still does a whole lot of the work that we do.
That's great.
The lion's share of it, of course, though, is mine now to take care of. But we're the ones mostly involved. My brother lives in Hereford, Texas, which is only a couple hours away from that ranch. And Tom comes over and helps us out as well. My daughter, Hannah, is now 21 years old, and you'd think I'd have been a better role model, but she wants to take care of her family, continue going to school, and take care of her job rather than, you know, kids these days. But Hannah helps out, too, is my whole point. And, of course, my wife, Julianne, does as well. So it's still a family operation.
Well, that is great. And we were talking about you spent some time up in Kentucky working on horse farms. Did you meet your wife in Kentucky?
I sure did. Yep. She's from Lexington, Kentucky, and worked on a horse farm there. That's where I ran into her.
Yeah, yeah. So how hard was it to talk her into going back out to New Mexico Ranch?
It was hard to talk her into just talking to me, much less coming out to the ranch. Let me backpedal just a touch. I told you that my dad worked with Baxter Black. Baxter Black is a veterinarian. Most people know that are familiar with Baxter. Well, my dad is also a veterinarian. He doesn't practice. He only practiced for about 2 years and then went back to ranching. But
wow.
I followed in their footsteps, and I got a degree of veterinary medicine. So that's how I ended up in Kentucky. I went there to work on the fancy horses. And so you asked me about Julianne. She was at one of the farms that I used to do veterinary work on, and I'm telling you, I could barely get her to even visit with me. And so finally one day I just screwed up my nerve, and I asked her out on a date, and she put her hands on her hips and she tilted her head and she said, "I do not go out with married men." And I said, "Well, what does that have to do with me?" And she said, "Well, you're married, aren't you?" I said, "No, I'm not married."
Everything changed.
Oh, yeah. And you asked me about coming to New Mexico. She had made a lot of trips out here. It was a huge change for her, and the transition was a little bit difficult for her, but she fell right into it and is doing great.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Well, you had mentioned Hannah, and you had recorded with her on Cowboys and Girls. And is she still singing with you?
Not as frequent. Yes, she is. Yes, she is. She just doesn't go to as many of the gatherings as she had before. She used to go to all of them with me, and now it's more selective. But she really is. She's doing great, and you know, she has a little boy, 2 years old, and family to take care of. She's finishing her business degree in college and working a job as well. So that occupies most of her time.
Randy, was she with you in Cimarron?
Yes.
Was she with you at the yes, on the Friday night,
yes.
Right? Yeah,
I did get to see her with you.
Yes.
Yes, yes. She got up to do one song at Cimarron.
And
you know, I don't think she has lost her passion for it. It's just that she's a busy lady. She's got a lot of stuff going on. So she'll be at the Texas Cowboy Gathering in Alpine in February this next year. But that's the only one she has committed to.
All right. Well, I know people are going to want to be in Alpine, and they'll want to listen to both you and Hannah. And let's go ahead and play a song that she did on the CD, Cowboys and Girls. It's one that's called Rides Like a Girl. I think you're going to like it. And we'll come back and talk more with Randy when we return on the Campfire Cafe.
On the bottom shelf, she's of the age to do like a sack full of lead. She climbed on that bronc and gave him his head. She was stuck to the saddle like white on a pearl. Said it's too bad you can't ride like a girl.
Houston singing a song written by her dad, Rides Like a Girl. It's from the Cowboys and Girls CD, and we're chatting with our guest, Randy Houston, today. Randy, I know that you are a prolific songwriter. I look at the CDs, and you've written almost every song or co-written. We'd love to share a little bit about the writing process. Can you give us a little clue into your songwriting process?
Absolutely. I spent time in Nashville. I went to songwriter seminars. I studied up on songwriting. I had thought that it was just something that should come natural, and it does. I think you have to have, you know, a strong interest and, you know, some aptitude for it. But then I studied up more on actually, or how to actually do it. My inspiration comes from what I do. We ranch, we do what cowboys do, and I've always got my eyes open and my notepad in my pocket ready to write down a new idea or maybe a new line. And so really, you know, I think with the exception of two songs, everything that I've written is based on some of my reality.
And when you co-write, do you work sort of independently, or do you like to be in the same room together, or do you email, you know, words or music back and forth? How is it to co-write with you?
Either way, we do it in all different fashions. I do like to be together in the same room, but since time and distance are an issue, I live pretty far out in the country and I'm not with the other writers very often. We'll use email and texting and things like that as well. So I've kind of adapted to that. Of course, when I was in Nashville, it was, you know, face-to-face, but now the electronic possibilities are there for us to be able to do it in other ways. And then we'll visit on the phone to actually talk, and that that helps as well.
When you were saying that you keep, you'll jot an idea down in a notebook, do you find words come first or music comes first, or it just depends on that song?
Typically for me, the words come first, and this is going to sound odd to a lot of people, but a series of words already have a melody to me. If someone said, how about a song about the trees are green and the sky is blue, that has a melody to me, and that's good and bad, because sometimes the melody that came with it wasn't any good. Sometimes it's not. But I am pretty much a word first person. But I'll tell you what, since we have these fancy smartphones now that have a recorder built in, I'm finding that I'm saving more melodies than I ever did before, because I have a way, if something comes into my head, I have a way to record it right then.
Mm-hmm. And before you put a song on a CD, do you have any kind of guidelines for yourself? Like, you know, I've got to have performed this a number of times to kind of really, you know, get it right, or for audience reaction, or how do you choose what goes on your CDs?
Boy, what a great question, Bobby. Actually, I'd like for the songs to be tried and true, but the reality is that with each CD that I've done, there are at least one or two songs that are written while I'm at the studio. And so on the CD Cowboys and Girls, Day of the Cowboy and the song Romance were both written while I was at the studio. I co-wrote those with my friend Ted Hoffman, and I had a good portion of the songs written, but not quite all I wanted. And so I called Ted, and he gave some good input, and we finished them up. But I remember on Day of the Cowboy, I had already done all the studio work except for singing it. And we finished it that morning. I stopped and got some coffee there in Cool Springs by Franklin. And while I was getting my coffee, I was talking to Ted, and we came up with the last two lines. I drove into Nashville and did the vocals.
It's such a, I'd love to hear those kind of stories. Yeah. You know, Deanna McCall, Deanna Dickinson McCall, and it was so fun to see you with RW and Jim Jones with Deanna. It was my first time to see her live. And her newest CD, and she's a poet, of course, but you and Jim Jones provide the background to her presentation of her poetry. What was that like to work with Jim and Deanna on that project?
Wow, again, great question, and thank you for asking. We had done live stuff with her for quite a while. We're all great friends. The McCalls are also in the ranching business, and so, you know, we have a lot in common. I love her poetry. She is so darn good. And so Jim and I would accompany her at live performances, and we've done a bunch of shows, just the three of us. And so Deanna was getting ready to make a new CD, and she asked if we would do the background. Of course, we said yes. Typically, when we do that, someone will they'll go ahead and record the poetry. Then they'll send Jim the recording, and then I'll go to Jim's studio, and we'll put background to it. Well, I told those guys I'd really like to try something different this time. I'd like to try and approach them like they were songs rather than poems. I wanted to do it live, where we were all in the studio at one time, so that we could kind of play off of each other. And so we did. We approached it like songs, where the music is actually a part of the poem. And I think I was so pleased with the way it came out. And I don't know if you noticed or not, but the Will Rogers Medallion Awards were just given, and that CD won Poetry CD of the Year. So that was the first set of awards it was could have won, and won in great fashion. So we're really tickled. Yep.
Yeah. Gary, I know you. It sounded like you had something to say, or do you want to get to a song?
I have nothing to say.
Oh.
I was enjoying listening.
Now, wait a minute. That's not what I heard about you, Gary. I heard you always had something to say.
Well, I was going to ask about the amount of time that it usually takes to finish a song, because you just mentioned too that you did while in the studio, but how long does it normally take for you to finish a song? Does it happen that quickly, or do you work on it for a while?
Just depends. You know, there are some that I may start, Rides Like a Girl. I started it when Hannah was probably five, because, the first line, she puts her sippy cup on the bottom shelf. You know, that was an image I saw her do. She was at the age, and she was probably three. Take it back. She was probably three. And she was wanting to do things herself. And I started writing it. I didn't finish it till she was about 10 or 11.
Wow.
I wrote a bunch of that song. And, you know, she's got a rank rocking horse. She'll give it a whirl. That rocking horse is right here in the living room. I'm looking at it right now that Hannah used to ride. And so then when she started to perform with me, I wanted to write some songs for her. And I looked back and I found that part of a song, and I went, oh, this will be good. And I wrote it. Another song on the CD, that same CD, is Men in Blue.
Mm-hmm.
doesn't matter. I got a call from the Sierra Vista Cowboy Poetry Gathering. They wanted to get some of us to write a song or a poem about their theme, which was Cowboys in Blue. Fort Huachuca, Arizona is there. And the purpose of the theme was that post-Civil War in the cavalry days, a lot of those guys, when they mustered out there in Arizona, there was very little work in, 1867 or 1868. And they ended up being cowboys. They didn't come from a cowboy background. Obviously, they had ridden horseback a lot. And so I said, sure, Steve Conroy, that's who it was. So I said, sure, I'll do it. Well, Jim Jones and I were at the gathering Friday afternoon. We had a little break, and we were working on a song that he and I were writing together. And we took a little break, and he said, oh, so you're doing one of the theme songs tomorrow. And I said, huh? He said, yeah, you're listed right here. And then I remembered that I had told Steve I would do it. We had other shows that afternoon. I had promised to go out to dinner with some people that night. I had promised to go to breakfast with some people the next morning, and I needed to perform that song at 10 a.m.
Oh, wow.
And so just driving back and forth in the car, Hannah was taking notes for me as I was giving her lines, and by golly, I did that song at 10 o'clock the next day there at the deal, and it's unchanged. I did it. It's recorded the same way I wrote it. And Jim Jones has also recorded that song.
And it's powerful. It's powerful. Gary, do we have time? Can you jump to that one? It's on our playlist.
I can jump to that one, and let's take a listen to Men in Blue. This is Randy Houston, and we're going to come back and talk more with Randy about ranch life in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
I gave up the fight, but it comes back to me almost every night. I fall asleep to the bawling of the cattle, so why do I wake to hear the sabers rattle? And I trade in my McClellan for a saddle with a horn, spurs and shod Bilettos are my new uniform. The terror of the battle cry sticks like a bad tattoo. The girls in Tombstone who took our cash called us Men in Blue. Rode 10,000 miles on a U.S. horse, sometimes chasing ghosts, sometimes overwhelming force. Now the territory's open, I'm out here punching cows. I'd put the worst behind me if only I knew how. And I traded my McClellan for a saddle. Bilettos are my new uniform. The terror of the battle cry sticks like a bad tattoo. The girls in Tombstone who took our cash called us red and blue. Like a bad tattoo. The girls in Tombstone who took our cash called us men in blue. The girls in Tombstone who took our cash called us men in blue.
Houston, and we're visiting with Randy today on the Campfire Cafe, and so from Nashville all the way out to New Mexico, so we're traveling the globe today. Not that far from Nashville to New Mexico, is it?
No, it's not that far when you consider the music.
No, no, it's great. It is great. Well, anybody that knows you, Randy, and of course the audience is getting to know you today, knows that you have a bit of a sense of humor.
Uh-oh.
And yeah. So you've got this ranch hand out there in New Mexico called Two Jump, and
yes.
I think his last name is Isaacs, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. You are correct. Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
He can never figure out how to spell his last name, though. He spells it different in some of the different videos, but that's correct.
Yeah. So did Two Jump dress up for Halloween?
No. The thing about him is he's either working really hard or he's just laying around. And when Halloween came, you know, he had said that he was going to do a bunch of this stuff, but then I couldn't find him. Turns out he slept through the whole day. He missed the whole doggone thing. And I bet people listening are really wondering what kind of a ranch hand this is. It's difficult to explain who Two Jump is. The best way for anybody to see it would be to see my videos on Facebook. Two Jump is an extreme action figure, not a doll. He's an extreme action figure that rides my cow dog and gets into all kinds of trouble.
Oh, gosh.
Has a hard time.
You were giving us directions off the air. We were chatting about Two Jump, and you told us exactly where to find the videos on your Facebook page. Why don't you go ahead and share that so people can find them easily?
Sure, and the thing is that people need, first thing people need to understand is I spell my last name Houston. I do not spell it like the city. I pronounce it Houston, but it's not spelled like the city. The first O is missing. So my Facebook page, Randy Houston, and you'll be able to tell which one it is. I'm not sure if there are other ones, but it'll be the one doing cowboy stuff. And if you go to the photos, just click on photos, and then next click on albums, and then just look through my videos for any of them that have a really kind of funny looking, I mean really good looking, extreme action figure on a dog that some people, yeah, and the dog's name, I can't leave her out. Her name is T. Molly.
Gosh. Well, they are so much fun. I actually went back and looked at one of those last night. I think it was the one where he was continuously getting whipped with the dog taking him under the gate instead of through the gate. So, anyway,
yeah,
it is too much
he
fun.
Needs, he, he needs to work on his horsemanship skills. He doesn't. He's not able to guide her around real good.
Gosh, well, it is so much fun to watch two jump, and so you'll have to bring him back out a little bit more often.
I know it. I agree. It's interesting that we're talking about it because in the last 2 weeks, I bet I have heard it from five or six different folks sending me messages or, you know, that I've run into. I just went to the Heber City Cowboy Gathering this last weekend and performed there. I had people that I had no idea existed in the world coming up to me and saying, "Hey, where's Two Jump?" So, you know, just folks that had been following on Facebook. So, I agree. He'll be out pretty quick. I'll get him back in action.
All right. That'll be good. I'll watch for it. Well, talking about sense of humor, the next song that we're going to do is one called Cowboy Magazine. So how did this come about?
Oh, my goodness. Cowboy Magazine, that took a long time to get the idea on paper. But once I figured out how to do it, the song came fast. And the reason that it was difficult is that we still do a lot of our cow work horseback. And we have neighbors help. We have neighbors help us, and we appreciate their help. We help them as well. But occasionally we'll invite people to help us that are not familiar with our lifestyle and how we work. And we love to have them come along as well. The only ones we don't appreciate are the ones that after about 5 minutes start telling us how we've done everything wrong for the last 120 years. And so every time I tried to write that song, it sounded really sarcastic and kind of mean. And then I thought, hey, here's the way to do it. And so that's where this song came from, Cowboy Magazine.
All right.
Came from.
All right, well, let's take a listen to Cowboy Magazine. It's Randy Houston, and that is Houston, if you're going to go look him up on Facebook and watch Mr. Two Jump. But let's take a listen to that and come back and talk more with Randy in just a moment.
His mama dressed him up in short pants and sent him to the very best schools. In the 70s, he grew his hair and his beard, broke the establishment's rules. Now he's got a 5-acre ranch over on the western slope, and a longhorn bull and an Appaloosa horse and a 60-foot rawhide rope. He goes riding down the trail, honking his saddle horn, wearing every piece of gear any buckaroo's ever worn. He used to follow the Rolling Stone, but he's no longer into that scene, 'cause his new ambition is getting his picture in Cowboy Magazine. Daddy named him Aubrey Preston Jones III, but he nicknamed himself Bronco so he could fit in the herd. He watches RFD, he reads buckaroo books, eats nothing but beef and beans, and he just can't figure why he can't get his picture in Cowboy Magazine. He goes riding down the trail, honking his saddle horn, wearing every piece of gear any buckaroo's ever worn. He used to follow the Rolling Stone, but he's no longer into that scene, 'cause his new ambition is getting his picture in Cowboy Magazine. He wants to hear the prairie dogs howl. He wants to see a camp cookie sing. just can't figure why he can't get his picture in Cowboy Magazine.
That was Cowboy Magazine by Randy Houston, and I just have to laugh at that because I am all hat and no cattle, wouldn't know the first thing to do with a horse, but I'm all cowgirl wannabe based on what I see in Cowboy Magazine, so I love that song. Randy, you obviously enjoy performing live. It's very obvious when we get to see you. And I know you just talked a little bit about Heber City a weekend ago. What do you like most about performing live?
Difficult to answer. All of your other questions, I've had a pretty straightforward answer. I'm not sure. I really do enjoy entertaining. I truly do. But at the same time, I also really enjoy being an accompanist. You know, I played mm-hmm. fiddle for R.W. Hampton and for Jim Jones and played the mandolin for those guys. And this year have probably backed up, I would bet, 35 or 40 different Western artists. And I love that, too. But mm-hmm. at the same time, once I engage with the audience, it's a shared experience. It truly is. If I'm having fun, they're having fun. And then that makes me have more fun, and hopefully it makes them have more fun. when I'm the entertainer, the artist. So mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, I've thought about it because what makes someone that lives an isolated lifestyle like I do on a ranch want to come to town and be a ham, come and show off? I don't know. I don't know. But I really, really do, really do like it.
When you back up folks, like when you were on the fiddle the other night, of course you've been performing with some of these folks for a long time. My guess is you're really familiar with their music, and you're able to just, the pro that you are, you're able to just pick it up and figure out how to support them. Or how do you prepare to be backup for somebody?
Well, good question again. Most of the time, I'm playing stuff I've never played or maybe only played once. And the other night when we were there in Albuquerque, R.W. did a bunch mm-hmm. of songs off his new CD. Mm-hmm. I'd never heard them mm-hmm. before. That was my very first time to hear them. So I don't know. It's just a God-given talent that, you know, it's – I'm not sure. It's just kind of an extension of me. You both know that if you hear a new song, pretty soon you can kind of hum along. You know, if they asked you, the first time you hear a song, you can kind of hum along. If they asked you to say, now sing it, you wouldn't be able to do it. But that's the mandolin and the fiddle are that way for me. I can just kind of find a place. I don't know how to describe mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. I've often wondered that, so thank you for sharing. I know Kristen Harris will back up folks, and she's just as happy with the stand-up bass, you know, and I just wonder how you all do that for each other, you know, if you're
Kristen,
not really familiar with the music.
Kristen can do the same thing. Jim Jones is really good about being able to do mm-hmm. the same thing, just fall right into mm-hmm. a song and play. Something for another time, Kristen Harris and I both have something called synesthesia, which means that we experience music different than other people do. We won't even hardly talk about it now. It's not something that you need to get a vaccine for. I think it's also it's more of something that really helps us. But we see music three-dimensional. Kristen sees colors. Music is in colors to her. It is in colors to me too, but not as vivid as Kristen. It's pretty interesting. So I think that helps.
Yeah. Wow, that is
interesting. I'd be interested in knowing how that conversation ever got started.
I can tell you in 15 seconds. I'm in Nashville. We're working in the studio. I was producing. We're listening back, and I say, okay, let's run that again. I need to listen. And so we listen and we stop it there, and I say, okay, Danny, that's a guitar player. I say, Danny, there's one note It's kind of, it's kind of in the upper right-hand corner, sort of yellow. And everybody in the studio looked at me like I'd grown another head or an alien jumped out of me. And I thought everybody did that. I thought that's what everybody did. And so I shut up about it. Well, a few years ago, I heard some people talking about synesthesia. And I went, whoa, I got that. I have that. And so Kristen and I were writing a song together. It was on her last CD. And we hadn't worked on it in about 4 or 5 months. We're together at Alpine. I said, hey, grab your guitar. Let's finish that song. She starts playing it, and she said, well, you did it in A. I said, well, how do you know I did it in A? All I did was a cappella just gave you a line of melody line. And she said, well, yeah, it was in A. And I said, how do you know that? She said, because it was blue or whatever. Her color.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And so I went, you too?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's pretty interesting. You know, I can listen to music sometimes. I know where it's going before it gets there, even if it's the very first time I've heard it. And you know where it's supposed to go. And it's just, of course, I don't think I see anything in color. It's all black and white to me. But anyway, it's kind of fun. Hey, you know, and sometimes with a song, you know what the next words are going to be. I mean, it just falls into place. So it's kind of interesting.
Yep.
Well, I want to play another song right quickly. And this is one called Old Gringo. And this one is from the CD, The Hole in Daddy's Rope. So let's take a listen to Old Gringo by Randy Houston. We'll come back and talk more with Randy on the Campfire Cafe.
He was fresh out of Texas, swore that he'd never go back. He'd ridden the river too many times to keep track. He didn't go with the buckaroos, said the North Country's too cold. Or is it because someone's waiting in New Mexico? He stops in the cottonwoods, figures he's fooling himself. That he'd rather have memories than find out she found someone else. So he's riding away as Natalia steps out in the yard. She cries out his name, once again he's in her arms. And she says, old gringo, have you figured out this could be home? Texas don't need you, you belong in New Mexico. We'll turn back the clock, be like kids once again. 'Cause even old gringos can become New Mexicans. Calls, he don't ride far till he's back home again. Here in New Mexico, cerca de Cuervo, home of the New Mexicans. And she says, old gringo, have you figured out this could be home? Texas don't need you, you belong in New Mexico. We'll turn back the clock, be like kids once again. 'Cause even old gringos can become New Mexicans. Even old gringos can become New Mexicans.
Old Gringo by our very special guest today, Mr. Randy Houston. And Randy, you're going to have to be easier to get hold of next time. Just love having you on the show.
This has been a lot of fun, hadn't it? I've really enjoyed it.
Well, it has been fun. Yeah, and I'm sure much, much more we could talk about. This color thing is fascinating to me, so we may have to get you and Kristen together and talk about that some, see what other colors we can come up with.
Yeah, you know, she hardly about it. People think it's odd.
Well,
just a follow-up to that, do you see the same color that she sees on a particular, like when you talked about A, do you see the same color for A, or do you see different colors?
Different, and hers are much more vivid. Uh-huh. I almost have to think about what color it was, where it's in the forefront of her mind. And I can't describe what I see, how music is three-dimensional to me. I can't even describe it. It's just, it just is. And so sometimes when I accompany someone, if I close my eyes and just fall into the song, I can't describe it any better way, I'll have no idea what I played. And it's over with, and, you know, RW might say, well, that fiddle deal was really cool. Be sure to do that next time. I'll have no idea what I did.
Oh, gosh. Well, listen, you have been a great guest, so I know folks are going to find your music. So why don't you give us your website and social media, and how can they follow you and buy your music?
Again, I'll start out by saying, and we've mentioned a couple of times, I spell my last name Houston. So it is Randy Houston, but I don't spell it like the city. I leave out the first O. And as far as social media, Facebook is the only one that I mess with. And so I have a page there. We also have a page for Hannah and I, where it's Randy Houston and Hannah Houston. And as far as getting a hold of the music, really the easiest way these days is iTunes. Seems like everybody's doing it electronically. If somebody wants an actual CD, they can order it on my website, which is randyhouston.com. I'm remiss at keeping that website very current, but it does take orders, and we'll get them shipped right out.
All right. And where will you be performing next?
You know, you've got me there. Oh, I'll be going to the convention this next week, the IWMA. Then on the 7th, I'll be there. Then on the 7th of December, Jim, Deanna, and I are doing a Christmas show in Alamogordo. And then I think I've got a break until late January, February. We get cranked back up again with some of the gatherings. Alpine is coming up. I'm just kind of at a loss. I don't have the schedule in front of me. But this is sort of a downtime of the year. We've been going pretty good here recently. And, again, you know, for folks that may have just started listening, I mostly ranch. You know, we run a lot of cows, and I stay pretty busy with that.
All right. Well, you'll want to be sure and catch Randy at one of his shows, and you'll certainly want to order his music. So iTunes if you do digital downloads, and his website if you want an actual CD, or you can pick one up, I'm sure, at one of his shows as well. Randy, you've been a ton of fun to have on the show today, my friend.
Well, that's been a lot of fun for me as well. I really, really have enjoyed it. I appreciate you.
Well, appreciate you taking your time. And we're going to close out this segment of the show with another song from the CD, Cowboys and Girls. It's called Lucky. And Randy, we'll talk to you soon, I hope, my friend. Thank you very much.
Sounds good.
Got hung in his bareback rigging, and it was a terrible wreck. The rodeo queen fainted dead away when his tooth bounced off her chest. Yeah, Lucky was smacking fence posts like a card in the bicycle spokes. When the x-rays were red, everything but his spirit was broken. He said, just call me Lucky, 'cause it could have been worse. Yeah, this here ain't much more than a scratch, and I could have really got hurt. I'm lying here in a hospital bed, but when I come to, I could have woke up dead. Ooh, 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 just call me Lucky. Lost his thumb in his dally, so he's roping hard and fast. He caught a Brangus cow, got jerked down, and she climbed up on his back. Punctured his lung and split his spleen before we could stop her. Oh, Lucky said, what the heck, I got to ride in a helicopter. Just call me Lucky, 'cause it could have been worse. Yeah, this here ain't much more than a scratch, and I could have really got hurt. I'm lying here in a hospital bed, but when I come to, I could have woke up dead. Ooh, 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 just call me Lucky. The ICU nurse that had never been kissed. With one eye patch and a body cast, old Lucky was hard to resist. So now he was a Lucky in love, and his future couldn't get much brighter. Till Mary Lou ran off with an airplane crash survivor. Just call me Lucky, 'cause it could have been worse. Yeah, I don't reckon I'm the kind of guy who really needs a nurse. Why, just last week at the rodeo dance, I met a lady that owns her own ambulance. Ooh, 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 just call me Lucky. Ooh, 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 just call me Lucky.
Lucky by Mr. Randy Houston, and he was our very special guest today on the Campfire Cafe, and great to finally connect with him.
Oh, that was wonderful.
Yeah. But between the serious stuff and the humorous stuff, it's just a fun couple of CDs to listen to. And so mm-hmm. Be sure and visit his website, randyhouston.com, and get your real copy there, or you can also get it on iTunes if you just do digital downloads. But anyway, fun show. Enjoyed having him with us. And Bobby, next week we'll be broadcasting live from the International Western Music Association. So I think this is our third year to be live from the IWMA. So we'll look forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be fun. All of our guests are very excited to have few moments with us and our listeners.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. And then we'll be joined by Robert Eversole to wrap things up on Saddle Up America next week. So a lot of fun stuff. And speaking of Saddle Up America, it's about time for that. So if you are on our website, and I'm sure you are, then just click the next box to listen to Saddle Up America with our very special guests, Mr. Jim McGarvey, Chuck Miller, and Karen Phillips. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. Bobby, have you got any closing thoughts for us this week?
Well, I do. You know, we are moving deeper into autumn. We know winter is around the corner, but we're still in autumn. And this is a quote from Anne Drake. I can smell autumn dancing in the breeze. The sweet chill of pumpkin and crisp sunburnt leaves. I love autumn.
I love autumn. You know, I was out driving around a little bit yesterday, and the colors in Tennessee are just so beautiful right now. And I expect that if you want to see all the fall colors here, you better get that done this week, because I would think that the leaves may be gone in about a week. But gosh, such a beautiful time of the year. How's the color in New Mexico?
You know, it's finally starting to change. And of course, this is our first, you know, every season, this is our first time experiencing it. And I wasn't seeing a lot of change in leaves. I was seeing changes in other kinds of flowers and bushes and things, but I wasn't really seeing a change of leaves. And then I was out driving the other day, heading to this town called Placidus, and suddenly everything to the left and right of me had turned. And mostly into golds. There's a few reds here and there, but it was breathtaking. And I was talking to a customer in Norwell, Massachusetts a couple days ago, actually an area that I spent some time in. I went to high school. My parents, we lived in Norwell at the time, and it was too funny to discover that we were had some history. And I said, "What's it like there?" And he said, "It's 36 degrees today. It is cold as can be, and there is not a leaf to be seen on a tree." So know that every region, you know, every region experiences fall differently. So I thought that was, you know, we were just beginning to see it here, and it was already like winter there.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm not quite ready for winter yet, but I love the fall time of the year. I love the fall time of the year. Well, listen, thanks for joining us today on the Campfire Cafe. Stay tuned for Saddle Up America. And we want to remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, to get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio Network, heard around the world, streaming live, online, and on demand at equestrianlegacy.net. We're going to close the show out today with one by Mr. Gary Allegretto. It is from his new CD, and it's Blues on the Trail. We'll see you next week. Bobby will talk to you at the IWMA convention in Albuquerque, New Mexico next week. Thanks for listening.
See you then.
I'm riding with the blues on the trail. Ooh, and the worries on my mind. There's a price on my head and a pops the clothing in behind. Yeah, I left my home and family, headed west full of dreams and desires. But it was nothing less than jumping from a frying pan into the fire. Old man devil soon called my name. Said, "Boy, looks like you got nothing to lose." So I started robbing stages and trains with a wild bunch at the robber's room. Fate. Ooh, when we crossed the great divide and rolled to the San Miguel bank down in the valley of Telluride, we rode for those coins of silver and we rode for the bars of gold. But now we're riding away from hanging from the timbers of the gallows pole. So you may have heard my name. Ooh, you may have seen my wanted poster on the wall. They're calling me the Sundance Kid, but my real name is Harry Longaball. so long, my sweet Etta. Pretty darling, I got to be on my way. I'll be riding straight through the night and then hiding in the shadows of the day. Love with these blues on the trail. Ooh, and the worries on my mind, and a bounty on my head, this posse closing in behind. Ah, but there's always one more job to do before you can leave this sporting life behind.